Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
So let's pray. Father, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your word, that Father, we would hear from you today, that your scripture would speak loud and clear, that Father, you would use me humbly as a servant, flawed at that, to deliver your scripture and your word in a powerful, meaningful way so that we can leave this place different. We pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Let me start with a story. Can we do that? Start with a story. More than half a century ago, a famous opera singer mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes. They thought it was a vocal problem. Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise. You see, Dr. Tomatis discovered that opera singers sing up to 140 decibels. That's louder than a jet engine taking off on an aircraft carrier. The opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. You see, you can't, if you can't hear a note, you can't sing that note. It's become known as the Tomatis effect. The voice does not produce what the ear does not hear. So the problem isn't a singing or a vocal problem. It is a hearing problem. I wonder, could there be a spiritual Tomatis effect? Where the problems we face in life isn't that God isn't speaking, it's that we've learnt or failed to learn how to listen. So God is speaking, but we have a hearing problem. Think about it. You go through life, no map, no directions, no instruction, no manual, yet God wants to lead and direct us. And he's guiding and he's speaking and he's leading, but if we're not listening, he can't get us to our destination. Think about it. You jump in a car, you go on a trip, you put your maps in. If you've never been there before, imagine putting it on mute. Who has a male voice on maps? Male voice? Female voice? Female voice? Male voice? Female voice? Okay, just who has an English accent voice? Bonnie, American? Anyone got the American? Okay, just a little survey. It's irrelevant, but I just thought I'd ask. Get some crowd interaction. But imagine pressing mute and the map just reroutes us because we're just driving who knows where. That's a little bit like life. If we're not listening and responding to God's directions, he's trying to reroute us all the time, trying to reshape our path and our journey. But I think we have a listening problem. God doesn't have a speaking problem. This makes so much sense to me, honestly. Here I am trying to raise 5 kids, 4 boys. I'm constantly saying, God, you know, decisions, right? When do they get their phone? How often can they have their phone? When do they get their social media? Can they play Fortnite? How long can they play Fortnite? You know, what's the curfew? They go to a party. When are they due home? Well, there's just nonstop decisions, right, as parents. And I'm like, I don't know half the time. I'm just making it up and hoping it works. I think God is speaking, but we're not listening. This really hit home to me in my job. I'm a pastor and I impact the 7 locations. My job is to serve those location pastors, bring some encouragement and some correction, just a little correction, but mostly encouragement. And as I move around our different locations, you know, a couple of weeks I was in Sunshine Coast and then I was down at Melbourne and next week I'm at Yamba, then at Penrith. And so I need to hear from God. These are big decisions we make in our church. People's lives are at stake. Buildings and staffing, and is it faith or is it fear? And this is a big issue to me. God, I need to hear you to make the correct decisions for my family, for our church. And you're the same. in your business, in your career? Do you stay? Do you go? Do you invest? Do you hold back? Do you hire? Do you wait? The huge questions that shapes our future and our destiny. And I believe that God is speaking, yet we've lost the art of listening. And that's what we are going to address today, and that's what we're going to address in this series. Because if we go through life double-minded, unsure, deaf to the things of God, we're just winging it. And winging it is not how God designed us to live. You may have remembered recently, there was this viral audio clip of Laurel and Yanni. Anybody remember that? We're going to play the clip and we want you to listen. Do you hear Laurel or do you hear Yanni? Have a listen.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay, hands up if you hear Laurel. Hands up if you hear Yanni. Keep your hand up if you hear Yanni. You're not kidding, hey. It's true. You hear Yanni. Put your hand up if you hear Laurel. Put your hand up if you hear Yanni. The same voice spoken, right? We all heard the same thing, yet we've got two different answers. Isn't that amazing? And the people who heard Yanni need to be delivered in Jesus' name. We need to pray for them and set them free. I don't know what they're hearing. It's Laurel, right? It's Laurel. Yet the people are hearing, yeah, it's Yanni for sure. And there's this conflict now over this. Marriages are being split, you know, families, churches are going in different directions. And it's created all this controversy because people are hearing the same name, but they're hearing different answers. This whole controversy should help us understand it's hard to have a conversation when our brain hears something different than what is intended. And I wonder how often we mishear what God is trying to say to us. Our brain has been conditioned by the ways of the world or by our upbringing or our past, different frequencies it responds to, and we end up mishearing what God is trying to say. So this is a great topic, a great subject for me. Dear Jesus, help me to be a better listener. And for all of us as a church, as we move forward down this 4 weeks, we're going to study this. We're going to learn from Scripture. How do we hear God's voice? Mark Batterson wrote a book called Whispers, and it's been a great resource for us at all our seven locations as we study together and deliver this content over these next 4 weeks. I think it's going to impact you greatly. It's such a big issue to me that years ago when I interviewed the staff that I was leading, we did a 360. If you don't know what that is, that's where you get your peers, your boss, and your employees to respond to different questions about your leadership. Overwhelmingly, there was a report that came back that I was a terrible listener. A terrible listener. Don't say amen, Bonnie. But this is an issue that I'm working on. It's important that I grow in. And I think it really is going to have a major impact on our church, honestly. This is a big deal. And I want us to embrace it, open our hearts to it, and really lean in. Is that okay? Can we do that? All right. When we had our third child, Bonnie and I were so grateful we called him Samuel. And here's why. In the Old Testament, the role of the prophet was to hear from God. He was the only one who could hear the voice of God, was the prophet. And then the prophet would take that information and deliver it to the king. This is in Israel. The king ran the government, the army, ran the country and beat up the bad guys. So there's this great relationship between the prophet who would hear from heaven and the king that would run the country. Well, today we don't need a prophet. We can hear directly from God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? We all have access into his presence, God's speaking, but we need to learn to listen. And so this story of a prophet named Samuel was so moving, so powerful. I want to share it with you today. There was a wife named Hannah, and she couldn't have children. Let's pick up the story in Samuel 1:10. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O heaven, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life. And as a sign that has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. After Samuel was about 2 or 3 years old, he was weaned. This is what happened in verse 27. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. Praise God. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. So Hannah couldn't have children, prayed desperately to her God, Jehovah Jireh, our God. He answered her prayer, gave her a child. She made a deal that I'll give him back to serve in the temple. And so the Lord began to speak to Samuel at about 12 years of age. And Samuel thought it was Eli, the priest in the temple, that was calling him at night. And so he went to Eli and said, hey, you calling me? I'm here. What do you want? And Eli suddenly realized in chapter 3, verse 8, that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down, and if someone calls again, say these words, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This needs to be our mantra. This needs to be our words. That daily we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm not sure how to discipline my child. I'm not sure what to do in this situation in parenting. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm not sure what do I do with my job. I've got an issue with another worker. There's a problem with the boss. Well, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Hey, I'm not sure about ministry. Should I step in and do that thing, God, or not? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Are you with me? This should be our mantra as we go through life. I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to ask someone on social media. I'm going to ask God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This is how we ought to live. In this attitude daily, all through the day, I've got a decision to make. Speak, Lord, your servant is. I like these words. When it says speak, you're asking God to speak. Lord refers to he's your boss. Lord is more than just a savior. Lord is I've surrendered my life to you. And I'm yours. Direct me. Guide me. Your servant. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to please you. I'm here to build your kingdom on earth. Your servant is listening. God, I'm actively listening to you. I want to hear an answer. I'm asking. I'm listening. Parents, how frustrating is it when you talk to your kids and they don't listen? Drives me crazy, right? Wives, how crazy is it when your husbands aren't listening? Or they have selective hearing. Don't say amen, ladies. In 4 weeks' time, we're starting a series on relationships and marriage, all right? We will unpack more of that between husbands and wives, but I don't want to load you up with too much today, so we'll just do one series at a time, but I can't wait for that marriage series coming up in 4 to 5 weeks. We need to learn how to listen. I believe that God is speaking, so why aren't we hearing? If God is speaking, why aren't we hearing? We don't know how to listen. Today, I want to give two practical thoughts. I love God's word. It's practical. It's down to earth. You apply it tomorrow on Monday morning when you wake up. Two thoughts. You can write these down. Here's the first one. We need to learn how God speaks. How does God speak? Let's look at scripture today. A story first in 1983, a volcano erupted on the remote island of Krakatoa, Indonesia. Farmers in Alice Springs heard it. It was the loudest sound ever recorded on Earth, 310 decibels. That's loud. You want to know the loudest animal? The loudest animal is a sperm whale, the loudest animal on earth, at 200 decibels. However, I challenge the researchers on this subject. I challenge them to come to the Paludan home with four boys in that front media room when they're farting and fighting and just find out. I reckon we bust the 200 decibel meter. Ask my neighbours who built an extra fence. I think we're louder, but they haven't been to my house, so at the moment it's the sperm whale. Then the jet engine is 150 decibels. Thunderclap, 120. Jackhammers, 100. Why am I telling you about decibels? Well, we want to learn how God speaks. Now, decibels, the louder they are, the more dangerous they become. At 110 decibels, it changes your blood pressure. 145, you become nauseous. I'm sure my kids are over 145 most days. 149, your vision blurs and your eyeballs vibrate. 195, your eardrums rupture. And 202 decibels, you can die through the power of sound waves. So how does God speak? What's his voice like? When it comes to decibels, what decibel reading do we find in God's voice? Well, let's look at Scripture. It'll tell us. 1 Kings 19. Moses was told, go stand on the mountain at attention before the Lord, and God will pass by. A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, what? A gentle, quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak. He muffled his face, referring to the honor, the reverence. When suddenly he heard God, he was so humbled. Interesting. God speaks in a whisper. A whisper is 15 decibels. A whisper is hard to hear. Not only was it a whisper, it was a gentle and a quiet whisper. The Hebrew word for whisper is dimaha, and it refers to silence or stillness or calmness. When someone speaks in a whisper, you have to lean in carefully. You almost have to put your ear to that person's mouth. A whisper requires concentration. A whisper, you have to be in a quiet place. A whisper refers to intimacy, because when you whisper, you've got to lean in to listen to the person who's speaking. See, God isn't concerned with just speaking to you. God is concerned about intimacy with you. And a whisper builds intimacy. When we come to church, God, I want to hear your voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. As we go through life, God wants us to lean in, to get to know him, to be intimate with him. There's this intimacy when it comes to whisper. He wants to be as close to us as divinely possible. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. He wants intimacy with you. Nothing has the potential to change your life like a whisper of God. One word from God changes everything. One word can redirect your life. 6 years ago, I was visiting my mum for her 70th birthday, and I was at Tweed up on Cooley looking over the Goldie, and no one was around, and I heard a whisper. A whisper. It was a whisper that there was an impression on my heart. It wasn't an audible whisper. It was a whisper to my spirit. You see, we're spiritual beings. We don't just operate with our five senses. We have a spirit that's alive and communicates and connects with God. And God whispered into my spirit, into my heart, that I'd be involved in leading churches all up the coast. That whisper changed everything, changed the direction of my life. One whisper, one word from God changes everything. In fact, one word changes you from the ordinary into the extraordinary. Think about it. You suddenly have access to the Almighty God that knows everything, the power of His knowledge to deposit one word into your heart. You act on that word, suddenly you do something extraordinary. One witty invention, one crazy idea, one God-birthed dream. It comes in a whisper, but God speaks softly. So softly that we need to lean in, that we need to listen. We think that God might speak with thunderclaps and lightning, but we see in Scripture, He speaks in a whisper. How does God speak? He speaks in a whisper. The second thought about learning to hear the voice of God is we need to learn how to listen. Simply put, God often speaks loudest when we are quietest. Now, this is the area where we get challenged. We've just heard how God speaks in a whisper. Now, it's on us what we do with that whisper. Are you ready? Psalms 46:10. The Bible says, "Be still." I am never still. I hate still. I'm active, I'm moving, ADD, I don't like this at all. All right? I'm just sharing my pain with you today. Be still. My best buddy tells me to relax. My wife says to sit down. You know, I just, and then the Bible says, be still. Anyway, be still and know that I am God. It's hard to hear in a noisy room. One study was done with primary school kids in Manhattan, New York. Children in the classroom were facing the train tracks, were 11 months behind in learning of their counterparts who were on the other side of the building, which was quieter. After the New York City Transit installed noise abatement equipment on the tracks, a follow-up study found no difference in the groups. Noise prevents you from hearing. When our lives get loud, we lose a sense of being and we turn into human doings rather than human beings. It's a noise issue. God wants us to be still, not do something. He wants us to be. It's important to understand that when our lives are loud, we can't hear. We can't listen. Ear cleansing is a standard operating procedure for sound mixers and film and music industry. What happens is they recalibrate their ears through absolute silence. So someone mixing sound or someone in audio, there'll be a period of just silence so they can recalibrate. The problem is, I think, in today's society, there is so much noise. They call it white noise. So many frequencies, so much noise that we can't hear because we're not quiet. Several years ago, it was actually in 97, Bonnie and I were just married and we were seeking God for our future. And we had a decision to make, do we go down one path or do we go down another path? And I was a builder at the time and we were also praying about a large project that we wanted to undertake and whether we should take it or not. And I'll never remember, I needed to hear from God. And maybe you feel the pain or you feel this story when you face the decision. Do you have another child? When do you have a child? Do you get married? Do you take on the deal? Do you expand? Do you move? Do you, they were big decisions, right? So what I did, I got my smoko box. I did this every morning, left 6 a.m., put it in my little smoko deal. And instead of going to work in the ute, I would drive up into the rainforest. And I got out of the car and went for this walk, and I just spent the 8 hours listening to God in that secret, quiet place. See, God's speaking, but we're not listening. Because he's speaking in a quiet voice, there's too much noise, we can't hear him. We need to find a quiet place. These are called whispering spots. Let me give you some examples of scripture of some great men and women of God who had whispering spots. This is where they heard from God. Abraham heard from God at the oak of Mamre. This was where a whole bunch of trees were. He had just separated from his nephew Lot, and this is where he went to hear from God in kind of this big forest where it was just him and the trees. He was trying to get quiet to hear where God would take him next. Jacob heard from God outside of Bethel, sleeping on a stone for a pillow. Yep, that's what the Bible says. He had a dream, and God affirmed and spoke to him about his descendants. Moses heard from heaven in the burning bush. It was on Mount Sinai where he was all on his own. Gideon heard from God on the oak tree of Ophrah. This is where Gideon was hiding out from the Midianites, and God spoke to him in that quiet place. David heard from God at the cave of Adullam, 13 miles west of Bethlehem, on a hill 500 feet high. Elijah heard from God while sleeping under a juniper tree. Ezekiel heard from God at the Kebar River. These are all quiet places where these men of God have removed themselves from the noise of life so that they can hear the still, quiet whisper. Daniel heard from God as he prayed upstairs in his bedroom with a window facing Jerusalem 3 times a day. Praying's great, but sometimes we've got to stop praying. Because if we're praying, we're not listening. Jonah heard from God in the belly of the whale. I like that. That's about where the quietest place you could find. I better get this sorted out, otherwise I'll be end up there one day. Because this was a place where God had to capture him in an isolated place. Where is your whispering place? If God speaks in a whisper, and we can only hear that whisper in a quiet place, where is your quiet place? Where do you regularly, routinely go to tune in and listen to the voice of God? I'll never forget coming home one day about 4 years ago, and as I pulled up, Abby was in the passenger seat of our car in the driveway. Like, what, you just come home, or what are you doing? Hey, hi, what are you doing, Abzy? And she, I've been here for about an hour. Hour, in the car, out the front, on your own, in the passenger seat. Well, what are you doing? Dad, it's just too noisy in there with all those 4 boys. I needed some study done. I needed some peace and quiet. She found a quiet place. A funny story, but there's some truth to that. Where's your quiet place? Walking on the beach, in your closet, bedroom. Here's what's interesting. Gordon Hempton, I listened to a TED talk from him this week. He's compiled what he calls the last great quiet places. These are places in America where you cannot hear any man-made noise because man-made noise travels for 15 minutes at least. He's discovered there are only 12 quiet places left in the US. It's getting harder and harder for us to find a quiet place. Think about it. We all walk around doing these ones, bowing to the almighty screen, but we think that's a distraction. What about these things in here? I get home. Hey, boys, I'm home. They don't know I'm home. They're doing these ones with these things. And the bigger they are, the beats the better, right? The bigger, wireless. You look at life, most people fill their lives with noise. Isn't that interesting? We do the same. Noise. Unless we find a quiet place, we can't hear from God. If we can't hear from God, he can't direct us. See, there's not a speaking problem, there's a hearing problem. And it's on us to realize God speaks in a whisper, just 15 decibels, that's quiet. And we need to find a quiet place where we can hear from heaven, where we can draw close. Father, I pray today that we would learn to listen. When I went through recovery on my listening problem, the counselor said, "The issue, Miles, is you don't care." That was hard to hear. The reason you're trying to answer them and speak over them is you don't care what they have to say. Just being real. I wonder if we're not listening because we don't care. Father, today, let this be a great reminder, a great opportunity, a great wake-up call that you're constantly speaking. We've just lost the art of listening. God, would you help us to be better listeners, to value what you have to say? Realize you speak in a whisper, a quiet, still, small voice. That we need to find a quiet place where the white noise of life is removed. Even now, God, as we sit in your presence and you're speaking, I pray we would listen and that we hear. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. God, would you speak to us? Speak, Lord. We need to hear what you have to say about our kids, about our families, about our church, about your creation.